invite your attention tonight to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. I want to say what a blessing it has been this week, how much we've enjoyed ourselves. I want to thank the Reynolds for opening their home to me and being such a gracious host. I am not easy to deal with and put up with. Just ask Tara. Well, never mind, don't. But anyway, we do appreciate the Reynolds being so kind to me this week. It's been a real blessing. Thank you, ladies, for all you have done, preparing food and taking care of our physical needs. And I also want to say thank you to the church for your generous love offering. We really appreciate that as well. And we also want to thank you for the kindness you've shown to us over the years, and in particular over the last several months. You all just don't know how God has used you all and other churches of like faith, but in particular you all, to meet needs. Whenever you all sent that love offering, and first of all, I want to apologize that I have not sent a card. I'm not a card kind of guy. I'm sorry. But I want you to know something. Whenever you all sent that love offering, me and Tara, we didn't know how God was going to take care of us. We knew He would. It's one of those things where you know God's going to do it, you just wished you knew how. I don't know if any of y'all ever been there or not. And this will go into the message in a minute. But whenever we left the other church, we were basically told that we'd be given 2 to 3 months and a gentleman's agreement to find a job. I'd already been looking for 3 months. I was told that they would help us with support, you know, a couple of months, something like that. Then when it all came down to it, they said, all right, 2 weeks to go and you're cut off. Now, me trying to be a spiritual man, Tara would say, Troy, and listen, Tara was very faithful. She was a great help. And I don't want to make it sound like that I was this John Wayne and she was crumbling or anything, because that wasn't it. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a few times Tara looked at me and said, Troy, we got a house payment due in 2 weeks. I looked at her and I said, God will take care of us, hon. Don't worry. It'll all be good. But let me tell you what Troy was doing on the inside. We got a house payment in 2 weeks. What are we going to do? And I can laugh about it now, but I wasn't laughing then. What I'm going to preach in a minute, God used this message on this very day in which we had another church to be a help to us. But we knew what was coming. We knew what was going to happen. We were scared to death. But we knew we were doing what the Lord wanted us to do. And we knew that if God wanted us to do it, He'd take care of us. And so we kept praying. We kept seeking the Lord. And on a Sunday morning, we had the Lord gave me a message to preach. And I know I shared this at Godfrey the other night, and I know I did at Salem as well. I can't remember if I have here or not. If I have, bear with me. Anyway, I'm going to tell it. And we was praying and seeking the Lord what to preach. We preached a message on trusting the Lord on Sunday morning, and I felt like a bit of a hypocrite. I really did. I told the people I felt like a hypocrite, and I said, pray for us. They knew what was going on. Then that afternoon, we had something else all ready to preach, and the Lord laid Matthew 6 on my heart. And I got to church that night and I told the folks, I said, people, I feel like a hypocrite. But I know this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And whether I feel like a hypocrite or not, whether I have twinges of doubt from time to time or not, that still doesn't mean that God's not true. And I said, so this is what I need you all to do. Pray for me that as I preach this, that I will not lose sight that God is on the throne. pray for me that I'll not lose sight that God takes care of His people. We know what David said, that he has never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. We know that God will take care of us, but pray for me that I will keep my eyes on Christ in this time. And of course, we preached the message, and of course, God did a wonderful work, and He encouraged us. We had others coming to us, said thank you. This was a blessing, and that night we got home. And of course, this is before you all sent your love offering. But I got home that night, and at this point, it was about a week from the time that our house payment was due. I got a phone call from Brother Clint, our pastor. He said, Brother Troy, he said, one of the men at the church asked, tonight brought it up in a special business meeting that we give you a love offering of $1,000. And folks, it was at that point that I knew. No, I already knew, but God reaffirmed, I'm going to take care of you. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Let me say to you tonight, to preface this message, every one of us goes through struggles. Every one of us goes through seasons even of ease, it seems like. Seems like where everything's going great, and it seems like that everything's just going right along, we're on the life seas and everything's smooth, but then a storm comes. And you're tossed about and you're wondering, Lord, what's going on in this storm? What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? And what the Lord is showing us is, trust me. Trust me. I will take care of you. What is God showing many of His people in this economic downturn, recession, whatever you want to call it today? It is simply this. Don't trust your bank account. Don't trust political leaders. Don't trust anyone else. Simply look to me. Trust me. He'll take care of your needs. Maybe not your wants. But many times, folks, we have a hard time of making a difference between need and want. Want and need. I need clothes on my back. I don't need $500 outfits on my back. Not that I'd ever do that. I need to be able to get back and forth to work as things go nowadays and travel a little bit, especially with my job. I need something to get me from point A to point B. However, I don't need a brand new Chevy four-wheel drive pickup truck. You understand the difference? Folks, or even a Ford, Johnny, that's okay too. But you understand the point. Sometimes, folks, we get our needs and our wants confused. But I promise you this, upon the authority of God's Word and the promises of God, He will take care of our needs. Now, won't you look with me, please, tonight, the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19. We'll read down to verse 34. The Word of God tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, this isn't the main thought of our message tonight, but just for a second, by way of introduction, let's camp on this thought. Notice verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but what are we most guilty of doing? Man, you know, God blessed us with a nice house. We bought a foreclosure a couple of years ago. And a pretty nice subdivision. I would have never thought we could have got something like that. But God gave it to us. But you know what? One thing that I have found that is a danger of doing, instead of using that house for the needs we have, a place to sleep in, a place to keep warm in, a place of shelter, it is easy to turn that into a place in which we worship. It is easy to turn it into a place in which we lay up our treasures. I want you to understand something, folks. If God was to call us somewhere else, and although I have no idea of that happening, although I have no desire for that to happen, I have to realize that all it is a means to an end. It's a house. One day, as time goes on, the foundation's going to crumble, the roof's going to go bad, termites will probably get a hold of it, it could burn down and be absolutely uninhabitable. But you know what? It's a house. Many times we do that with vehicles. We'll go out here and we'll buy us a brand new car. Nothing wrong with having a brand new car. If you have the means to take care of it and finance it and be able to, where you own it and it doesn't own you. But man, go out here and get a brand new. My dream has always been to have a brand new Chevy four-wheel drive pickup truck. I'm sorry, Johnny. But it has been. And man, I've always wanted one, and I like them, and I don't mean to say that I covet one, but I have to admit, when I see one going down the road, I have to pray. Man, I like them. But you know what? If God was to give that to me, you know, as nice as it'd look in my driveway, and even as nice as I might think I'd look behind the wheel, you know what? 5 years, it's going to be dented, it's going to be dinged. It's going to get miles on it. It's going to have work done on it. Transmissions go bad, motors go bad, you got to change the oil, things get crudded up. Man, it's just a vehicle. It's a place to get you from point A to point B. That's all it is. Folks, if we would really look at the things we have on this earth, the things that we treasure, the things we love, the things we hold up and almost worship if we don't worship them, we would realize that they are nothing. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But notice verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. How do we do this? I submit to you tonight, first way we do it is we submit ourselves to the leadership and the will of God. What's God's will for our life? Does God's will for you to be in a factory and working there? Praise God! Then go to work in that factory and do it for the honor and glory of God. Do it to the best of your ability. Is it God's will for you to be a school teacher? A keeper at home? Then praise God, do it! You know what? You're a lot better off laying up treasures like that than you are laying up treasures here on this earth. Too many times we get caught up with the temporal. Rather, we need to be concerned about the eternal. You know, I was thinking this week, just kind of observing the Reynolds in their home. Brother Reynolds, a very busy man, but one thing I've noticed all week, as Sister Jessie, from morning to night, never resting. She's either cooking, she's either cleaning, she's got Brianna running around after her, or another grandchild. And man, she's having a ball doing it. But I often wonder, and I was often thinking to myself, how many treasures is that dear sister going to have in heaven? With all the things she does, understanding that her husband gets phone calls late out. Sister Denise, I'm telling you the same thing with her. Sister Clarissa, my wife at home, Sister Mandy. Man, these ladies could be doing great things in the eyes of the world, but they are following God. And in my estimation, and I believe more than that in the eyes of God, they are doing great things. That's the will of God for them and their life to serve God, and they're doing it to the best of their ability. Man, it could be the same thing for missionaries, pastors, Sunday school teachers, clerks, treasurers. This is what I'm saying tonight, folks. Let's get our eyes off the here and now. Let's be looking to eternity. Let's be thinking about down the road. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's your treasure? You know, I've kind of mocked my home state this week, and I can do that because I'm from there. But you know, talking about Kentucky basketball, man, that's a lot of people's treasure. People lay out of church on Wednesday night because the Cats are playing. What's that going to matter in eternity? Where is that going to matter whenever it comes to your child being at home and watching DeMarcus Cousins get a double-double or hearing the gospel of Christ? What's more important? This Sunday night, it's going to be the same thing. People are going to be laying out of church to go and to stay home and watch a ball game. Or God forbid, even worse, churches are going to be having stinking football games on where everyone can watch. Man, we've got our eyes on the wrong stuff. Man, we don't need to be emphasizing football and basketball. You all know what a sports fan I am. My family enjoys sports. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. By the grace of God, whenever it's time for church, guess where my son's going to be? He's going to be in the house of God. Whenever it's time for us to sit down and talk about the gospel, I'm not going to be talking to him about it while we got a ball game on. We're going to be turning it off, and I'm going to be saying, son, this is the gospel of Christ. This is what you need. You don't need to worry about scholarships. You don't need to worry about touchdowns. You need to simply be concerned about Christ. Oh, we have a need. Folks, let's get our eyes off of here and now and look to the things of God. Now skip down to verse 24. The Word of God tells us no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Basically, folks, that's what it's saying. You can't serve God and the God of this world. You can't serve the God of heaven and yourself. You can't serve the God of heaven and money. But you got people trying to do it all the time. Brother Troy, I won't be at church this Sunday. Why not? Well, you know, we just bought that boat. And you know, Brother Troy, if I work overtime this weekend, I'm going to get double time on Sunday. And I'm going to be able to make that extra payment on the boat. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you sell the boat? Get you a cheaper boat. You can go out on Saturday. You don't have to work on Sunday. And then you don't have to worry about all this stuff. Man, how about that? Good old-fashioned common sense, which isn't too common. But notice, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, notice verse 25. Now, verse 25 is where we're going to really start getting down to it. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, notice what Christ is saying here. And remember, folks, this is Christ. Three rules to interpret. Number one, who's speaking. Number two, who's speaking to. Number three, what's speaking about. Christ speaking. He's speaking to His servants. And He's speaking about trusting Him. Now, that's the long and the short of it. But notice, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You know what the take no thought there is talking about? Don't worry. Now, is God teaching us that we're to be haphazard and we're not to make plans? No, because He tells us in the Proverbs, consider the ant. You know, they store up. Nothing wrong with that. It's good to put things back for a rainy day. But you know, folks, it's something else to live in fear. of this life and this world. You know, as Brother Fayard was preaching this week, especially on economic Babylon, you know, I got to thinking, man, all this market stuff that's going on and the crash we've seen and times past, that's nothing. And you know, there was a part of me that thought, what if that does happen now? Hey, folks, I believe we won't go through the Great Tribulation, but I do believe there will be tribulation. Man, what if we go to something similar to that? Man, that'd be hard. But you know, this kept thinking, God will take care of us. But notice, take no thought for your life. Notice what he's talking about here when he says, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Said, isn't there more to life than what you wear, than what you eat? Then he gives the example here. Says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than that? Have you ever seen a bird going out here on some farmland driving a tractor? Now I know this sounds ridiculous, but think about it. He's got a plow on the back of the tractor. He looks back there once in a while. Yeah, it's looking good. You ever seen a bird with a combine? You ever seen a bird with a hawk, a couple of hawks out there throwing square bales up to the barn? Now, as ridiculous as that sounds, think about it. God takes care of the birds. They don't have to go plow. They don't have to go put hay in the barn. God fends for them. Folks, we don't realize this and think about this, but we are compared to a sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep don't know how to do nothing because they're too busy following the other sheep. We're the same way many times. But if we just realize we have the great shepherd, he's tending to our needs. He's feeding us. He's leading us into green pastures. He's leading us beside the still waters. Then notice, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? There's not a one of us here that can grow taller. By sitting here and concentrating and closing our eyes, saying, oh, give me an inch. Man, give me 2 inches. Man, I want to be another foot. It's not going to happen. Because if it would have happened, many people would have done it. But that's in the hands of God. Notice also as we continue on. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. You go out here, you look at the lilies. Look at the irises. Man, I tell you, the iris is the most beautiful flower I've ever seen. And I really couldn't have told you what an iris was until Tara came along. It's her favorite flower. Man, I have to say, it's grown on me. And it's beautiful. And I've often thought, how can one flower be right here, then another flower over here, and they be so different? How does one seed know it's supposed to be an iris, and then the other sprout up and know it's supposed to be a rose? Or a tulip? Man, that's all in God's hands. But notice as we continue on, the Bible continues on and says, and yet I say unto you, verse 29, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was a very rich man. He was a man of great splendor. But yet he didn't even compare to the lilies of the field. Notice verse 30. Verse 30 through 34 is the main thought of the message tonight. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now we notice here in verse 30, He says, if God will take care of the grass of the field, which today is growing, and then tomorrow it's cast into the oven for whatever purpose it was for, how much more is He going to take care of you? If He's going to take care of the lilies of the field, which grow and then after a period of time they die, how much more is He going to take care of you? If He's going to take care of a bird that flies around and does whatever a bird does, how much more is He going to take care of us? I guarantee you, He loves me more than that blackbird. You know why? Because I'm created in His image. And not only am I created in His image, but He has done a work in my heart. He chose me. He says affection on me. He loved me. And I am brought up so that I can glorify Him. So folks, if He's going to take care of the birds, He's going to take care of the lilies, He's going to take care of the grass, how much more is He going to take care of me? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I pray for my president. I respect the office of the president. I don't care if he's black, blue, purple, red, albino, whatever. I care less. But I'm going to tell you something. While I do not agree with my president's policies, I still yet respect him. But understand this, my president, whether it be Obama, whether it be Bush, or whether it be a reincarnation of Reagan, that is not who I look for to take care of me. God is my provider. God is my protector. He is the one that I am to look to. And folks, I'm going to tell you today, as these days get colder, as these days get longer, as these days get darker, and tribulation gets ready to come, dark times are ahead. We need to more and more look to Christ and be encouraged in Him. We notice in verse 30 again, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Are you worried about where your next meal is from? I'm going to tell you, folks, there's not a one of us here, and I'm looking in the mirror of God's Word, that's missed too many meals. We don't know what it is to suffer. We don't know what it is to be in poverty. You know, people talk about the poverty in the United States of America whenever I was doing mission work in West Virginia. Everyone talked about what a poor state West Virginia was. And you know what? Compared to some places, it probably is. But you know, I have a hard time believing anyone is in poverty if they have, I don't care if you can see through the walls of the shack or not, but if they got a car that runs in the driveway and they have a DirecTV dish on top of the shack, I'm sorry, they're not in poverty. We don't know what poverty is. You go to a third world country and people that are in poverty here, they would be the upper echelon and these other places. Oh, folks, we just need to realize that we need to put our trust and faith in Christ, because indeed, He will take care of our food. He will take care of our drink. He will make sure we are clothed. Notice verse 32, for after all these things, what things? Food, drink, clothing. All these things do the Gentiles seek. Now understand, folks, when he's talking about Gentiles here, Gentile is talking about heathen, unbelievers, barbarians, us, those outside of the Jewish faith. Then we notice, after all these things, basically we say the world seeks after. That's what the world does. They worry about what brand clothes they're wearing. Whether it's Polo or Calvin Klein or whatever. I couldn't even tell you what the name brands are nowadays. I care less. You know, whether you shop at Aldi's or Save-A-Lot or Kroger or some big fancy stuff, who cares? God takes care of our needs. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't you think God knows what we need? He knows better than we do. Now I want you to notice verse 33. Verse 33 is the key to all this. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You all know what happened with us back in October, September. Won't get into all the detail here. We've been praying about that for several months. To be honest with you, in the flesh, I knew what we needed to do, but I am not going to lie to you, in the flesh, I didn't want to do it. And I will tell you the one reason why, and I'm being honest, because I knew that we would lose the majority of our support. Now, I'm just being honest with you tonight. And I couldn't remember whenever all this was happening and me and Tara was talking about it and praying about it. She said, "Troy, you know what we need to do." I said, "Honey, I know what we need to do." I said, "But this is hard." I said, "I know God will take care of us. But the question is, I just wished I knew how." Man, we struggled for 3 months, 4 months, and finally, after the Lord just made it so clear what we had to do, we resigned. And again, folks, as I said earlier, we didn't know what we were going to do. No prospect of a job. But let me tell you what the Lord started doing. After we resigned, I just continued to minister. We had other authority. We was getting all that stuff worked through. And I was chaplain for the week at the local hospital. I went up there, and of course, the coordinator of the chaplaincy program, she is not a minister or anything like that. She's just a good Christian lady that took it so that there would be some chaplains at the hospital. And I was talking to her about it. I said, "I don't know what we're going to do." So, but all I know is God's faithful. 2 weeks later, she called me and said, "Troy, I know someone that's hiring. It may not be something that you had always dreamed of, but it's a job." And I said, "I'll take it. I'm a comfort keeper now. I'm cleaning houses. Shock of all shocks. I'm cooking dinner. And it's not ramen noodles." But God provided that paycheck. We had to pay back a certain amount of money. Man, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When our people heard, some of them were shocked, and they said, "Brother Troy, what are we going to do? That's a lot of money for us. None of us are rich." I said, "That's true, but God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We had churches call us. We went and preached to them. And of course, some churches that we never even preached to or even heard of before, they found out what we were doing. They took care. They sent love offerings to us to take care of our needs. Churches that were supporting us, they continue to support. And then we started getting close on this money we had to pay back. We were given 3 to 6 months. It was about the 4.5 months. We was getting a little bit of pressure. And I got a phone call from a church in West Virginia we preached at. Said, "Brother Troy, we just voted to give you $10,000 to the work to pay off that debt." Now, folks, I don't say that tonight to build us up, because I'm nothing. But I tell you that tonight to tell you this. There's a little work in Nancy, Kentucky, with 12 members, 8 are the only ones able to get out during the winter and faithfully come. And God has seen to our needs. He has met every need time after time after time. Did God do this because He's like, oh, Troy McGahan, you're such an eloquent preacher? Man, you look... Absolutely not. Said, oh, Brother Troy, you have this nice distinguished look about you. No, we all know better than that. But I tell you why God has done it. Because He has promised that if we follow verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, you put Him first and His righteousness. You seek Him, you do what's right, everything about Him first, then notice what He'll do, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, He'll take care of you. Whatever's going on. Whatever this economic downturn is, maybe you're struggling in your family life. Maybe you're struggling with your job. Maybe you're struggling in your ministry. I'm going to tell you right now, God is able. God will take care of you. All we need to do, folks, is simply put Him first. Fall on our face before God and say, oh God, lead me, guide me, and direct me. And I promise you what He'll do. He will make sure you got food on the table, clothes on your back, and something to drink. He will take care of you and your family. Brother, I know right now Satan's discouraging you, but God's got something for you. He's going to take care of your need. He's going to provide a way. And I'm going to tell you tonight that each and every one of us here, we get discouraged. We get a little down. We feel like that the world's caving in on top of us. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that'll hold it all up. Man, if we're saved tonight, all we need to do is look to Him. But let me tell you tonight, lost soul, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Troy, I don't get it. I don't understand that. That's right, you can understand it. But I'm going to tell you, what you need is you need Christ. Amen. You know what He'll do? Not only will He take care of your food, not only will He take care of your clothes, but He will also take care of your soul. He will lift you out of that miry clay. He will lift you out of that pit, and He will establish your going. And He'll save your unworthy soul from the very penalty, power, and presence of sin. God's good. And we simply need to look to Him. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I tell you, look to Him and live. Because He died on the cross. He was buried. And He rose again the third day for sinners. Paul said, of which I am chief. But let me tell you, folks, all sinners are on the same ground. If you'll come to Him in repentance and faith, trusting that He'll save you, He'll do it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for all You've done. God, speak to our hearts tonight. God, I pray that You do a mighty work. And God, I pray that we'd look to You. I pray that we'd trust You. And I pray, Lord, that You'd make a way for those that are struggling. But God, I pray if there be one here tonight that's lost, I pray, Lord, that even tonight You'd save their soul. God, do a work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Wayne.